There's always hope. And I firmly believe that both of these institutions can be fixed. But as I said, it will require bold action and a merciless trimming of the rot. It's got to go. There's no nice way of doing it. You just got to fire them and start over.
South Africa's criminal justice system is broken. Well, that much we know. We have seen the Madlanga Commission and now an ad hoc commission of investigation at Parliament. That's why we're talking today to Glynis Breytenbach. She was on the National Prosecuting Authority as a prosecutor for 26 years. When it went crook, she left, joined Parliament, where she is the DA's spokesperson on justice. She's also a member of the committee, that ad hoc committee, and she is the oversight person from the DA's perspective on the Madlanga Commission. So who better to find out what the devil's going on ever since the Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi, the head of the South African Police Services in KwaZulu-Natal, had a bombshell press conference. We have been having very little else to talk about when it comes to crime in South Africa. Well, I asked Glynis, given that she's been sitting through weeks of hearings now, what it was that has shocked her.
After 26 years in the 26 years in the National Prosecuting Authority and 12 years in Parliament, there's nothing that has been mentioned that has shocked me even mildly. Nothing is shocking. I understand that it's shocking for people who don't deal with it every day. But the fact that, you know, the top echelon of the South African Police Service are either lame ducks or quite possibly corrupt is a problem. It's a serious problem. And unfortunately, we know that it's not limited to the top echelons of the South African Police Service. And again, I want to stress that doesn't suggest that all policemen are corrupt. That's not the case. Or that all members of the judiciary are corrupt. That is definitely not the case. Or that all prosecutors are corrupt. That is not the case. But that all of those institutions appear to, in some degree or another, to have, you know, problems that need to be dealt with. That is so.
I spoke to her from her office where she is in Parliament, and it's quite interesting. Have a look at behind her and you'll see there are pictures, not of children, not of parents, not of partners, but of her dogs. Ah, she's a dog person, and any other dog person can kind of give this toughie a real thumbs up. Well, I asked her also about her skepticism around General Mkhwanazi. You might recall when he first came out on the 7th of July with that press conference of his, she was one of the few people who said, hang on a minute, this isn't the way to go about things. And she was, well, her voice was pretty much swallowed up by the crowd who were just so excited that somebody, somewhere, in some authority, had stood up and said, the system is broken, it's rotten, the police service is infiltrated with criminals, politicians are in the pay of criminals. We need to fix this. Well, I ask Glynis, given everything that's happened since July, has she changed her opinion?
I'm an old prosecutor. I never accept things at face value. I always look behind the facade. That is what my experience has taught me to do, and that's what I did with General Mkhwanazi. So I still hold the view that to appear on a Sunday afternoon on national television dressed in full battle fatigues of the task force surrounded by people in the same uniform, all armed with automatic rifles, wearing face masks and balaclavas, I think that was something of a statement, and I'm not entirely sure that that was the only or the best or the necessary way to go. If that's the way he chose to go, that's his prerogative. I question it. And I question what the message was.
Well, she still remains in the minority as far as that is concerned. We've also heard some skepticism coming from Paul O'Sullivan and, of course, those on the other side of this seeming turf war within the SA Police Services, which has burst everything around all the dirty washing, has now been exposed to the public. But we're trying to make sense of all of this. And so I ask, Glynis, from all of those witnesses who have appeared before the Madlanga Commission and indeed the ad hoc committee at Parliament, are they giving her the impression that they want to clean things up, they want to get things right, they want to make it better?
Oh, hell no. Anything but. I wish. Every single person who's yet, with perhaps the exception of the Deputy Minister Boshielo yesterday, who, you know, appears to have nothing to hide. The others have all come and you know, given long, drawn-out, long-winded answers to very concise questions in order to avoid answering the question. This committee is unfortunately not adversarial, and it's unfortunately not cross-examination in the sense that you would cross-examine in court. And so they have the latitude to do that, which is, you know, incredibly irritating, but also illuminating. When somebody obfuscates to the lengths that they do it, then clearly, you know, you cannot put much stock in what they're saying. So the truth lies elsewhere, not in what they're saying here.
And Hermanus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's five cars, Yaku. Denial.
I just love cars. And when we buy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient, you sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras. I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those.
We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
On The Briefing today, we're taking a deep dive into the consequences of Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi's disclosures on the 7th of July and the investigations that are following from it at an official level. Well, Madlanga Commission has got quite a lot of hope for many people, but we had the Zondo Commission before. It was exciting. It was fascinating. It was grab the popcorn stuff just about every day for months. Very expensive for taxpayers, and so far it hasn't yielded much. So the real point is there going to be a return on investment in this? And Glynis, what's the point of all of this?
This is a golden opportunity to shine a light on endemic corruption in the criminal justice system. It's been necessary for a long time. And this is sort of the abscess that has now burst. So we have this opportunity. We must seize it and use it and to make sure that we make it count. So no matter how much obfuscation there is in the committee, the members will be able to draw their own conclusions from, you know, the evidence presented, comparing notes and looking behind the facade. And we will come up with, I'm quite sure, very concrete and insightful recommendations, and I think everybody on the committee is quite determined to see them implemented. So at the end of all this, we will be able to reach, I think, conclusions, and we will certainly spend a lot of energy making sure that the recommendations are implemented, and in the oversight of these departments reporting to portfolio committees next year. So, you know, this process will be finalized this year, and we'll start next year with putting the boot in and making sure that these ills are addressed. So that's a very positive outcome. What South Africans should really bear in mind is that everybody in the police service and everybody in the National Prosecuting Authority and everybody in the judiciary, whether it be judges or magistrates, are under-resourced in the extreme, overstretched to breaking point, and that makes them less effective and efficient than we would like them to be, no doubt. And South Africans should be aware of the fact that all of these, the entire criminal justice system, is starved of budget, utterly starved of budget, and that's by design. And the design is, of course, to ensure that endemic corruption can continue to flourish. And that these people can operate with impunity. because that suits the agenda. So South Africans should be aware of that. When they complain about poor service from the police, understand they have no budget. You know, when they see prosecutions failing, understand they have no budget. And when judges take a long time to deliver judgments, understand they have no support. They have no administrative support. They work in buildings that are decrepit. The entire criminal justice system is under-resourced and under-budgeted.
Sure. That's quite hectic, isn't it? By design. I've heard people say that our shocking education system is also by design to keep our people, well, uneducated. Nothing could be more evil than that. Nothing could be more evil. I did ask, though, how far we are along the road to reversing the years of state capture. Remember, it's 8 years now since Zuma was turfed out of the union buildings. So tell us, Glynis Breytenbach, MP, how far have we progressed? If you were to take a rating where 1 is the lowest and 10 is the highest on the capture of the criminal justice system in South Africa, as you clearly at the time that you left, it was probably 9 or 10 out of 10. Where would it be today?
Sadly, I would think it's still around 8, 7 or 8, probably 8.
And what would it take to get it down to 0 from here?
A lot of hard work and a lot of serious action. So you'd need a lot of determination. You'd need to lead from the front. You would need people at the top of the NPA, the top structure of the NPA, top structure of police, to take bold action, not be afraid. It's not a popularity contest, really not. So fire the riffraff, get rid of them, deal with the consequences. There will be consequences, of course. There'll be endless litigation. Deal with it. Whatever it costs, it will be worth it. Fire them. Start over, because if you don't excise it and get rid of it, it will just continue to fester. So there's no nice gentle way of doing it. You've got to get rid of the rot and start over mercilessly.
I don't know, but after listening to someone like Glynis Breytenbach, I just feel a little bit more uplifted. Sure, there's a mess. Sure, it's like a festering sore that has burst and you've got all the muck around. But somehow you get a feeling that South Africa is going to continue to be blessed by its people, although it has long been cursed by its governors. Well, you can get the full interview, what we call the director's cut of my chat with Glynis Breytenbach, on biznews.com/briefing. Until tomorrow, cheerio.